you, Professor Sirwa, for coming on to Moving Thoughts.
Thank you very much for inviting me to talk with you.
So the first thing I'll ask is, what is your position at Bishop's University?
Well, my official or newly appointed position is a Canada Research Chair in Health and Well-being, but I'm also an Associate Professor in the Department of Psychology here at Bishop's.
What do these positions entail?
Well, being an Associate Professor, of course, means that I teach in the Department of Psychology. And the Canada Research Chair position, as I mentioned, which was just been newly appointed, newly announced this year, basically it's a research position. It's funded by the federal government. And what it basically is set up to do is to free up some of my time so that I can focus more on research. Teaching is still very important to me, which is why I still teach. But with the Canada Research Chair, it allows me to further develop my research program, as well as share some of the research I do. So I'm expected to basically collaborate with other people, both in Canada and internationally, and present my results around the world. And it's basically a position designed to give me an opportunity to further develop my research program.
So I understand that your position here at Bishop University is more focused on research than teaching. What projects are you currently working on?
Well, yes, it is definitely the Canada Research Chair is very much focused, much more so on research than teaching. But also I should say that my particular Canada Research Chair has a focus on health and well-being, and that is sort of the key areas of my research. So most of my research projects then center on better understanding people's health and well-being, the factors that impact their health and well-being. And I'm also very interested too in as I develop and study these different factors and finding ways to improve the health and well-being of individuals. Some of the current projects that I have going on, one of them is actually very student-focused. It's a large-scale study I'm conducting with the Dean of Student Affairs and several other faculty members in psychology and faculty in business. And we're trying to get a bit of a handle on the well-being of Bishop students. In other words, what are the factors that allow Bishop students to really flourish and do well, not just academically, but in their personal life as well? And also, are there factors that put some students at risk for not doing as well, not perhaps getting as much out of the Bishop's experience as what they could? So this study is ongoing right now, and we're going to be assessing students, their well-being, their health habits, their social interactions, sort of their sense of community spirit and that over the next few months and across the whole academic year.
So what results do you expect from the study, and also what do you think you can use from the study to help benefit students?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, you know, we always go into research hoping we'd see certain things. I mean, some of the things we're expecting, one of the things we're looking at is something we've termed academic work-life balance. And we're expecting that students who not just, you know, spend all their time studying, but who also get actively involved in the Bishop's community through some of the extracurricular sports activities and manage to balance that with their academic demands, we're expecting that those students are probably the ones that are going to be really flourishing and doing well. The flip side of that is students who aren't getting involved or who may be struggling and not necessarily making use of the resources that are available to them, we're expecting those students perhaps not be doing as well as they could. So that can translate directly, therefore, into sort of finding ways to fill the gaps that might be there. And this can be done through student services, whether it's just raising awareness of the student services or developing initiatives that may address some of the factors that come up in the study. So, you know, if there's something that's not allowing students to connect socially, finding some niches that allow those students that are having more difficulty, especially the first year students, integrating socially, something that would allow them to do that more easily if that's going to help them really flourish and thrive at Bishop's. And another project I'm working on, which is more focused on well-being within the community, is an ongoing study I'm doing with Dr. Charpentier. And we're looking at the factors, the mental strategies that people use while they're in the midst of trying to make some sort of a healthy lifestyle change, whether it's quitting smoking or exercising more or eating better. And so this is actually ongoing, and we're looking for people who are in the middle of trying to make some sort of healthy change so that we can kind of track them and say, okay, what goes through your head? What sort of strategies are you using to help you make these changes? And so this is sort of an exploratory study, but we're hoping that from this study we can find out what some of the strategies are that people are using that may be successful, or at least allowing people to enjoy making the changes that they're working on, and some follow-up work from that eventually down the road would be, if we can find out what these mental strategies are, then we could perhaps hold workshops and that in the community to help teach people how to use these mental strategies, not just to make healthy changes, but perhaps to pursue other goals that are important to them as well. So this study, as I mentioned, is ongoing. It just started up this summer. And yes, we are still looking for research participants. And basically, it's anybody who's involved in making a healthy change right now. Not someone who's thinking about it, but someone who's actively working on it, whether they're being successful or whether they're struggling. In fact, the ones who are struggling, we're particularly interested in, because we want to know, you know, what's going on with them, what, you know, sort of things they may or may not be doing that may be causing them difficulty. So basically, this is open to anybody of any age. Obviously, you know, 16 and over, who's in the middle of some sort of healthy lifestyle change, trying to eat healthier, drink more water, exercise more, you know, cut back on smoking, that type of thing. And it's basically a survey. We have the survey online, but we can also mail the survey to people. And it takes about 30 to 45 minutes to complete. And there's an optional follow-up part two, where we might invite some individuals in for interviews to sort of ask them a few more detailed questions about the sort of healthy changes that they're making and their thoughts that they're engaged in while they're trying to make these changes. And everyone that participates also gets a chance to win one of five $50 grocery gift cards, which is a nice little extra to help people who are, I guess, trying to make some healthy changes with their diet and that. But if people are interested, they can go to our website. It's www.ubishops.ca/healthy-changes-study. And there's information there about how to contact us and a little bit more about the study itself. So our website is www.ubishops.ca/healthy-changes-study. It's sort of all one word together.
So what is one of the other projects you are working on?
So one of the other projects that we're going to be launching very soon is, we want to be looking at stress of people with respect to the recession. In other words, how has the recession affected people's stress levels, their thoughts about the future, just their general well-being. I mean, the recession, you know, officially hit a couple of years back, but there's been talk again that we're going into a second recession sort of back to back. And so the economy is not great right now for a lot of individuals. And that sort of dealing with that sort of financial stressor can really take a toll on people's well-being. So that's one of the things we want to look at is how, what sort of tolls are taking on them. But we also know that people are resilient too. So some people, despite, you know, the stressors and financial woes of perhaps, you know, being laid off or not being able to find work or having cutbacks on their hours, some people are still able to manage to keep up a fairly high level of well-being. So we also want to know, so what are those factors? What makes somebody more resilient to these types of stressors?
That's an interesting research project, simply because I would imagine that in the past, during other depression periods, there wouldn't be a psychological focus on the events and on people, what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's true. Nowadays, when events happen, psychologists are more keen on getting in and actually trying to study the effects on people and their well-being, just much more so than the past. In the past, it was sort of looking at the financial, I guess, and sort of other factors from the fallout. But now we understand these events can really take a toll on people. And it's not just well-being and feeling good or happy or sad. I mean, these have real tangible consequences for people's health, right? So living in a period of chronic stress can be extremely damaging to one's health, and then that ends up affecting the healthcare system and people's families, etc. So it is really important because you cannot recreate these events in the lab or anything, right? So they're natural events, to get in and try and understand what's happening with people and how it's affecting them for better or worse.
Besides doing research, you are also teaching classes. Could you maybe go on to describe what classes you're teaching and which one of them is your favorite?
Well, right now I'm only teaching one class, which is Health Psychology 1, so it's really easy to say what's my favorite because it is the only class. But it is actually my favorite class, though, too. Mostly because it's my main area of research. I am a health psychologist, so teaching health psychology is certainly second nature, and it's kind of neat also too when I get to teach a course where I've co-authored the textbook too, so it makes it a little bit more personal for me in that respect. But I guess the key thing with health psychology is it really is a course about the interaction between the body and mind and how that impacts overall well-being. So it's not just physical health, it's social health, psychological health, emotional health, all these things sort of all wrapped up together. And so we're looking at everything. I mean, Health One, we look at mainly just a little bit of understanding about the body and before we get into the whole body-mind relationship and sort of current models of that. And then we're looking at a lot of people's health behaviors, both the ones that help them and the ones that may be a little bit more compromising to their health too. And then we look at stress. So I've spent a lot of time on stress and the sources of stress, how stress affects people, and also some of the factors I was just mentioning about sort of those resilience factors, whether it's personality style, if somebody's an optimist, does that make them less, you know, impacted by negative events such as a recession or being laid off? So for me anyways, it's one of my favorite courses to teach.
So everybody has a story of how they came to Bishop, some type of narrative, the adventure people take, and eventually coming to here at Bishop's in the present. Could you maybe describe your story of how you end up coming here?
Okay, sure, yes. Well, my story has two sides. I actually have to tell it from both my perspective and a bit from the Bishop's perspective, too, because I think both stories sort of intertwined at the point at which I ended up coming here. So first, from the Bishop side, I gotta pause. So from the Bishop side, there were several circumstances that kind of, laid the groundwork for the opportunity that allowed me to come here to Bishop's. And one of them goes back to 2009. And it was at that time that Bishop's identified psychological health and well-being as one of its four strategic research areas. And identifying that, they also applied to get a CRC position which they could fill. So that was sort of the first step too. But the thing that was most interesting about that is that the whole notion of psychological health and well-being is a fairly kind of fresh and new idea. And so you hear a lot more about well-being out there, yet, you know, none of these big, you know, research institutions or universities had sat down and say, oh yeah, let's create psychological health and well-being. Let's make that a focus. Nobody had done it, but Bishop's was able to, you know, people at Bishop's, and this namely Steve Harvey and Benoit Bacon, were able to sit down and sort of envision that this would be a key area of research both out in the world, but also that would be well suited for Bishop's given the environment here. So that's sort of from the Bishop side how things started up. From my side, I had already been teaching as a faculty member at University of Windsor. So I was down there for about 7 years. I had come there from Carleton, which is where I did most of my grad work. And I was down, you know, first job out, and you're all kind of keen and everything. And you know, I was happy to sort of stay there initially, but one of the things that I sort of found, though, was for myself, because my research area was so health-focused, it was in a very unhealthy environment, both, environmentally and on several different levels. And as a result of that unhealthy environment, unfortunately, we had some kind of critical family illness. And so it made it necessary then for me to start looking and saying I had to move myself to a healthier environment. That was kind of the goal. So I wouldn't have been looking for another position had it not be wanting to find something that was healthier for my research, I guess, and also for my family. And it just so happened that the timing was right. Because at that time, Bishop's was advertising for somebody who would fill this position of the Canada Research Chair and you know, psychological health and well-being. And at that time at Windsor, my lab was already called the Health and Well-Being Lab, right? So this is a term, this was how I sort of envisioned my own research, was that it was all about health and well-being. And they were looking for somebody that did health and well-being, and it just seemed like a good fit. And so I came here, I guess it was, and this first time at Bishop's was in the spring of 2009 for my interview, and I just fell in love with the place immediately. I mean, the environment is beautiful, the campus is gorgeous, and there's such a strong sense of community and connectedness here that you just don't see in a lot of other places. So I was very fortunate that things worked out the way they did, and I was invited to come down and take the position here, and that's pretty much how I ended up here.
How do you or your projects interact and benefit the Bishop's University, Lennoxville, Sherbrooke communities?
Okay, well, that's a great question. I'm going to sort of bring it back a little bit to I guess my role as a CRC, a Canada Research Chair, and also sort of what the psychological health and well-being cluster is all about. I've mentioned, I just want to bring that in now, because even though I'm at CRC and health and well-being, I'm also the coordinator of this research group at Bishop's. So it's not just myself being interested in research on health and well-being, but it's also psychological health and well-being research cluster, which was part of one of those four strategic areas that Bishop's identified. And so one of the mandates of the cluster then is to understand the factors that promote and enhance psychological health and well-being in both individuals and the communities that they live in. So this is a key priority for our research group. And other than myself, there's other people who are involved in different projects. But my specific projects that I'm focusing on that are could benefit the community, again, go back to this idea of some of the mental strategies that people use when they're trying to not just make healthy changes, but make goals, okay, trying to achieve their goals. So one of the things I'm interested in is finding accessible and sort of simple, inexpensive ways, and a lot of this just by how people think about things, to get people to help reach their goals. And so from some of the research that we're doing, like the Healthy Changes Study and some of the other things that we have planned and in the works over the next couple of years, we're hoping that we can come up with some interventions that we could then deliver through workshops in the community to tell people, say, if you think about your goals in this particular way, if you're able to, you can think back to all the steps that you took that led you to where you are right now with your goals, and then go back and imagine perhaps if one of those steps hadn't taken, where you would be. This particular strategy, there's some early research done by some other researchers that suggests that when people do that, when you sort of mentally undo these steps, that it actually makes you have a sense of greater appreciation for everything that's happened. It makes you more confident of what you're doing. It kind of feels like you're on the right path, like you're fated with your goal. So this is some of the research that I'm focusing on now and in the future that I think could be of benefit to the community, is that these are very simple, straightforward means that can help people reach just about any goal they're trying to work towards. And again, we've envisioned this as an outcome of some of the research projects, of actually going out in the community and giving workshops and showing people how to use these strategies, so they can then just take them into their own lives and say, okay, when I'm getting stuck, when I'm getting frustrated with this goal, let's just sit back and just reflect a little bit on where I've been, where I've come from, and what might have been had I not done these things. And we're hoping that that will keep them motivated enough to keep going on and be successful with their goals.
If you wanted to give people from the community one message, what would it be?
Well, that's a great question. Well, I would kind of bring it back to research here. And I guess the main thing I would say is that that research is important, and when we put out calls for people to participate in research, it doesn't just help us, it actually helps them, and it ultimately will help people in the community. So when you participate in a research study, it can help you in a couple different levels. A lot of the studies that I do anyways ask questions to reflect on things that they're doing, and just even the process of reflecting, say, on your goals or why you're making healthy changes or your personality or what's been going on in your life or your stress levels. Sitting down, taking the time to do that personal reflection as you fill out a survey can be immediately beneficial, for sure. So on an individual basis, this can help. But I think more importantly, sort of the big picture of this too, is that ultimately the research results, yes, you know, we try and publish them and put them out to papers, but we also try to put together pamphlets and reports that with the results from our research that we can share with people in the community. And hopefully also do some sort of, like I said, workshops or seminars to take those results and give them back to the people that were so kind enough to give us their time in by participating, so that they can ultimately help them. And whether it helps you directly, beneficially or not, know that your participation is going to eventually help somebody else out there in the community who may need the help. And so I think that's the big thing, that research participation helps everybody.
And if people wanted to contact you about any of your research projects, how can they do so?
Well, I guess the easiest way is just by email. So my email at Bishops is fsirois, S-I-R-O-I-S, at ubishops.ca.
Thank you very much for taking your time, Professor Sirois, for coming on to Moving Thoughts and sharing your ideas and your projects with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Michael.